south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now here's a boots-on-the-ground story that'll really give you something to think about. You recent and longtime listeners have heard me talk about a gringo expat guy I run into frequently at one of my favorite indoor-outdoor coffee shop-slash-people-watching spots. A guy who refers to himself as, at least to me he does, retired corrupt ex-Boston cop Bob. Ain't that a mouthful? Now, being that 98% of my time down here in Latin America, I'm way off the gringo tourist trail. I only run into gringos and expats very infrequently. But of course, every small, medium, and large town or city, even ones way off the gringo tourist trail, they have their little sprinkling of gringos and expats. That means, of course, if you're hanging around one of those towns or cities, chances are when you run into a gringo or expat, it'll be the same ones over and over again. Now, as far as retired ex-corrupt Boston cop Bob, I run into him probably every 2 or 3 weeks because practically every day I do a 1 hour power walk, and I plan it out so that when I'm about halfway into it, I'm going right past that little coffee shop people watching spot I was telling you about. And that's where ex-cop Bob hangs out too, so naturally, every once in a while, I run into him. And when he's there, we always stop and have a cup and catch up on things. You probably remember I told you he's married to a beautiful Latina who had 2 kids as baggage and a father that abandoned him. That's pretty normal. Oh, and you heard me mention Bob flew back to my jammy to get vaxxed. So in that sense, he's really not one of us. He drank a full measure of Kool-Aid. But as far as fully realizing the U.S. is the Titanic going down, he's fully on board with that. As are 99% of all his Boston cop buddies. So anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I ran into Bob again, and he invited me to a 4th of July party at his new place. Yeah, he just moved. He was a renter, and now he owns a place. His new place being a very upscale residential tower in one of the best neighborhoods. And usually, I don't much like going to those kind of affairs. But Bob had been bugging me to see his new place, so I thought, okay, I'll go. By the way, here's something you have to know about gringos and expats living down here in Latin America. Someone's always throwing a U.S. holiday party. 4th of July, Memorial Day, Christmas, New Year's. And in a way, you got to wonder why that is, because we're talking about expats and gringos who've left the U.S. Most of us, because we can't stand what it's turned into. And because of that, some of us don't even want to be reminded of the place anymore. Speaking of U.S. holidays, thinking about how U.S. holidays used to be so many years ago, it's just sad and depressing to realize it'll never be like that again. But the fact is, for some gringos and expats, even if they feel that way, they'll still show up to various U.S. holiday parties, like Bob's 4th of July party, simply because it's sort of a tradition. Though I admit, for some, it's just an excuse to get a bunch of gringos and expats together, having nothing really to do with celebrating the event. Nothing wrong with that, except the irony of it is that a great majority of gringos and expats living down here in Latin America are brainwashed American pseudo-patriots who are also proud and pleased as punch to whip out that vax card and brag that they're protected. They've been jabbed and they're oh so happy to talk about it. The other part of that sad truth is I'd say at least 80% of retired gringos and expats here in Latin America are ex-retired school teachers and U.S. government workers, lemmings who drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago, and the only reason they're in Latin America is because that government pension or Social Security allows them to live twice as well as they would on the same amount up in Cleveland, even though they're the ones really responsible for letting the U.S. go to shit. As for me, I want nothing to do with that 80%, and when I'm stuck sitting next to one at a party, I'll generally toss a few sly slings and arrows. I'll let them know in a roundabout way what hypocrites they are coming down here to Latin America, all the while trying to turn it into a mini version of the place they left. Or I should say the place that they and their ilk have managed to ruin. So be prepared when you come down and get boots on the ground for yourself that most gringos and expats you run into down here will be woke, big government, shit for brains, closet socialists. Thinly disguised as do-gooder gringos out to save the world. Oh, but not with their money, with your money. And really, that's one of the top reasons I refuse to live or hang out on the gringo tourist trail. And that's where the vast majority of them tend to congregate. And those are the places, too, that contaminate with their malignant woke ideas. Where shit, when a gringo expat tells me he's a member of Republicans or Democrats abroad, I completely write him off as a mental midget. All right, enough of that rant, but you get the idea. Anyway, the gringos and expats that I know and occasionally hang around with are not of that ilk. They're like-minded and got the hell out of Dodge for all the right reasons. That includes retired, corrupt Boston cop Bob and why I consented to go to his 4th of July party. Though it is sort of ironic, don't you think, that gringos and expats will have 4th of July parties? You're probably thinking, why the hell wouldn't they just stay back in the States if they're so bonded to the U.S. and its customs? Well, for true expats who got the hell out of Dodge for the right reasons, the occasional Memorial Day and 4th of July parties are, as mentioned, mostly just a reason they get a bunch of people together for a party. Oh, and the fact that cheap, massive fireworks displays are available at every corner store does give one the extra incentive to celebrate, especially if you're kind of a pyromaniac like lots of man-boy gringos are. Though often nostalgia will seep in and people will start talking about what real 4th of July block parties back in their hometown used to be like before the whole world went crazy, which oddly enough seems to have started and accelerated with the advent of the internet in about 1990. Though some say it started with the birth of the first iPhone, what was that, 2007? But if you spend a little time looking into it, you'll see it really started with a kind of wokeness in the public liberal arts universities that started creeping in about 20 years earlier. But you knew that already, right? So anyway, I went to Bob's 4th of July party. There were 20 or so people there, and thankfully not a single other gringo, woke or otherwise. And I said, Bob, don't you have any other gringo friends? He said, none whose opinions I could stand for more than 5 minutes at a stretch. Though he said he's got lots of like-minded retired Boston cop friends who come down and visit once in a while, but none of them live permanently in Latin America. Though he said they all want to, they've got just way too much baggage and attachments back home. By the way, did you know that cops have a 20-year and out program? That means they can retire with a full pension as young as 40 years old. So when you hear the words retired cop, don't picture an old worn-out codger with a cane. He said almost all cops, especially these days, will take that 20-year and out option and they'll start a whole new career when they're 40 years old, like he did. Oh, and you don't even want to know what he and his cop friends got to say about what's happened to the morale in the police departments up in the States. He said since this George Floyd thing, defund the cops, and those new rules in many states, starting in California, that you can't arrest a person unless he's stolen more than $700 worth of goods. He said every cop he knows absolutely hates his job. And that's a recent thing, too. It wasn't like that just a couple of years ago. In fact, he said the vast majority of cops working up in Boston right now are closet alcoholics, which didn't surprise me. He said that's true all over the United States. A lot of it, he said, has to do with the fact that cops nationwide have lost the respect of the common man. It's never coming back either. It'll have terrible repercussions too because no one wants to be a career cop anymore. He said, hell, I'd rather be a firefighter or even a garbage man. Same salary with none of the grief. Speaking of firefighters, here's the part of the story I really wanted to tell. We were sitting in Bob's new place. It's a nice, I'd say, 1,400 square foot condo in a residential tower. Luxury all the way. The kitchen even had a dishwasher and a garbage disposal. Man, I can count on one hand the number of garbage disposals I've seen here in Latin America. That really throws the owner in the 0.1% crowd. So anyway, I get there. Bob's showing me around. We're in the laundry room. And all of a sudden, in the room next door, the kitchen, we hear a big pop. To me, the unmistakable sound of a short circuit. You know, wires crossing and sparks flying, fuses and breakers blowing. So we rushed in there and saw Bob's Latino wife walk up to the oven and check it. She was cooking a couple of whole chickens in it. And suddenly came another, louder, deeper pop. And flames started shooting out from the back of the oven. Now, the oven was set in an IKEA prefab modular kitchen unit. Oh, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but most Latin American countries now have IKEA. And to me, most of their stuff is junk. It looks good. I'm talking about the furniture now. For a while anyway, but it's just laminate particle board. And after a few dings and bangs and vacuum cleaner and broom wax, courtesy of your cleaning lady, it starts looking pretty tacky. Though I have to admit, even IKEA has some high-end stuff that's very good, but people usually buy the cheap crap because it's cheap. So anyway, flames are shooting out of the back of the oven. And I said, Bob, where's the shutoff valve for the gas? Looks to me like the gas line to your stove is melted and now we got a propane gas fire. So he opened the cabinet doors under the sink and there were three small valves. One for the gas stove, one for the gas range, and one for the gas dryer. So He shut him right away, but the flames kept raging. Again, from the back of the stove, shooting up the wall. Now it was getting really hot and stuffy in there, and the flames were reaching up behind the stove, and you could see the reflection on the ceiling. The whole IKEA cabinet was catching fire. So I told Bob to hurry up and call the firemen, the bomberos. You call 911 for that. And luckily, since his high-rise wasn't in one of the best neighborhoods, there was a good chance the firemen would actually arrive quickly. The better the neighborhood, the faster the response time for both the cops and the firemen. No surprise, same thing in the States, right? So anyway, I'm up on this half ladder, and I'm dousing the thing with buckets of water, and it's not going out. So I yelled to Bob to go out in the hallway by the elevator, where I knew there had to be a fire extinguisher. You see them all the time next to elevators. Though whether they're actually charged up and maintained, who knows? By now, the whole kitchen's filled with smoke, and the flames are reaching up to the ceiling. And being up on the ladder, I had my hand over the top of it, singed a hair on my arm. And suddenly, about a minute later, Bob arrives with the extinguisher, passes it to me. Luckily, it was charged, and in 2 seconds, man, I had that fire out. But Bob's new kitchen was an absolute disaster. Smoke damage, a half an inch of water on the floor, blue powder in every drawer and nook and cranny from the extinguisher. You know, those dry extinguishers are loaded with potassium bicarbonate powder. But hey, the panic was over. And amazingly enough, about 10 minutes later, the firemen came. We waited about 15 minutes for the stove to cool down enough, and I undid the screws in front, pulled it out from the half-charred spot in the IKEA shelf. And sure enough, the firemen said, the reason why the gas pipe caught on fire is because it wasn't to code. Surprise, surprise. What did you say? Are you serious? Here in Latin America, the gas line wasn't installed to code? Well, that was absolutely no surprise to me. However, it was kind of a surprise being that building is in one of the nicest neighborhoods, one of the most expensive areas, with very high rent in those towers compared to other places in Latin America, not compared to the States. We'll get to that later. The thing is, as the fireman pointed out, you're never supposed to use a plastic gas pipe near the stove. You can use it in the walls, but you got to use a metal pipe wherever a gas line is exposed, like from the connection out of the wall to the connection at the back of the stove. The fireman said the electrical connection was not to code either. Now, you know, gas stoves have an electrical connection because they have a spark system, you know, to ignite the gas and lights in front and a timer. Doesn't use a lot of electricity, but it does get plugged into a regular 110 outlet. Now, the fireman said, and I knew this, of course Bob didn't because he never built a house before. It's also true when it comes to stoves, the electrical connection, the wires coming from the wall to the stove have to be protected in a metal flexible sheath. It's called BX or armored cable. I'm sure you've seen it. So anyway, here's what happened. The stove was plugged into a regular wall outlet behind it. It was a normal electric power cable with plastic insulation. The kind you see on most appliances like refrigerators and vacuum cleaners, etc. And when that was connected and the oven pushed in place, the power cord enclosed in plastic touched directly up against the oven. So that wire butting up to the back of the oven would get hot every time it was fired up. So on July 4th, with a couple of chickens in the oven, that was the driveway chicken that broke the camel's back. The outside plastic insulation on the wire melted through, the wires touched, causing a short circuit, setting the plastic insulation on fire, and right next to it, the plastic gas pipe that was also heated over and over again every time someone used the oven. So really, it was a ticking time bomb that just happened to go off at the party. Oh, and just as an aside, you longtime listeners have heard me say there are no central gas companies in Latin America. No one has natural gas piped into their neighborhoods like almost everyone has up in the States, except if you live way out in the boonies. Here in Latin America, almost everyone uses propane gas, which is the same as natural gas, basically, with the tank stored in your own home. However, in these big, first-world-style, expensive residential high-rises. Expensive, again, as compared to other residences in Latin America, not in the States. They have a system set up where there's a giant propane tank in the basement or in a parking area, and from there, the main feed from that tank goes to individual meters, one for each apartment in the complex. So every apartment does have an individual gas line. So at first glance, when you're in that apartment, it appears as if you're connected to a central gas utility company, but you're only connected to the main tank in the basement, and you pay your gas based on your individual meter reading, of course. Now, if you're living in a single-family home or a low-rent neighborhood, you know what I mean, or out in the boonies, you'll have your own 25, 50, or 100-pound propane gas tank. If you're smart, you'll have the tank out in the back or in a garage or a protected shed. That is, most gringos and expats will, whereas most Latinos will generally have that tank, a small one, usually a 25-pounder, under the kitchen sink. And it'll almost always be connected to the stove and oven with a plastic tube. And to me, it's always been a big surprise why there aren't more terrible fires. Though there are kitchen fires all the time, I've never heard of anyone being asphyxiated because Latino housing, especially in low and middle class housing, there's always plenty of airflow. The doors and windows are not sealed very well at all. They don't have double pane windows, and there's practically no such thing as weather stripping. And since 95% of Latinos don't have air conditioning, they've got doors and windows open all the time. Now, of course, air will feed the fire, but when people have got doors and windows open all the time, the fire can't suck out all the oxygen. So it would be extremely rare for someone to be asphyxiated. That's the good news. The bad news is people with gas setups, even in high-end areas, are using plastic gas pipe, which is legal when it's in the walls, but never when it's exposed. And I'll give you one guess as to why it's used everywhere. It's 5 times cheaper than metal. And since inspection departments here in Latin America are practically dead in the water, you've heard me say that many times before. The fact is, you can have an architect design your house, pull all the right permits, spend a year building the house, and there's a good chance that not one single inspector will ever come over and look at your place. That's why so many builders and contractors will cut corners. Though on the plus side, since all decent buildings and structures are made out of glass, cement, and concrete block, even in the case of Bob's kitchen fire, the only thing that would have been consumed had no one been there would be his IKEA kitchen cabinet setup. And some might say that's no loss. Oh, and here's the topper to that story. While the firemen were still poking around in the cupboards, checking things out, suddenly two members of Bob's Homeowners Association showed up, who were, by the way, the only two doofuses wearing masks. Even the firemen came without masks. Anyway, one of the ladies from the Homeowners Association came up to me and Bob and said, with a kind of a shrill, even panicky voice, she said in Spanish, of course, "Bob, you are number 8. And Bob said in his very bad Spanish, "Number 8 for what?" Well, as it turns out, she said since the building went up around 9 years earlier, and the building had 44 units total, she said there had been 8 identical kitchen fires just like Bob's, everyone due to the exact same problem. However, she said, you were the luckiest of the 8. You knew to shut off the gas immediately and to go up by the elevator and grab the extinguisher. I said, yeah, that's what we were worrying about when the water wouldn't douse it. We had our fingers crossed that the extinguisher would be charged. She says, you don't have to worry about that. She said, after the first couple of kitchen fires, we installed those extinguishers on every floor, and we have them checked regularly. Very good news for Bob, because it's a scary feeling when water will not put out the fire. So in the end, Bob only had to have 2 shelves in his IKEA unit replaced, whereas the other 7 previous fires destroyed their entire kitchens. Why? Well, because as it turned out, all the other fires occurred while the cleaning lady slash maid was doing the cooking. And they don't know what to do. They don't know where the gas shutoff is. They just panic, try to phone up the administration or run down to the lobby and flag the guard at the entrance. And that takes some minutes, and by then, those IKEA cabinets are done for. Oh, and the thing is, in Bob's residential tower, every kitchen was fully equipped with high-end appliances and a complete IKEA kitchen cabinet set. And those IKEA cabinets were the only things in that whole kitchen that were flammable. Unfortunately, every kitchen had the same setup. Plastic, gas, and electrical lines to the oven. Oh, and as a grand finale, Bob asked the 2 ladies from the condo association what they were going to do about the situation since number 9 was sure to come. Well, they said a couple years back when all this started happening, they got a lawyer and tried to get him to go after the building contractor. And someday it just might get to court before the guy croaks. And my parting words to those 2 ladies, I said, it would be a really, really good idea if you sent out a bulletin to everyone in this complex telling the latest story and urging them to have their pipes changed over to metal. Hell, the very next day, that's exactly what Bob did. He had an electrician and a plumber over. They switched the lines in both the stove and the oven. Total cost? Around $90. And 25 of that was the cost of the metal gas pipe. All right, moving on. And speaking of COVIDiots, this is from a July 8th, 2021 article coming out of Ecuador. Now, as you might have noticed, I mention Ecuador a lot. It's been on the AARP and International Living Top 5 list for at least 5 years now as a top spot for gringos and expats to live the good life on the cheap. Except now, as you may have figured, the gringos have piled in and they're slowly but surely turning it into their own mini version of California. Yikes. Hey, I've been there a number of times. Gringo expat do-gooders are everywhere. So here's the headline on this article. Starts by saying, thousands of Ecuadorian families are taking their children to the U.S. to get vaxxed. And I'll paraphrase this and get to the point. It says, upper middle class Ecuadorians, after traveling to Miami for their own COVID-19 vaccines, are now making the trip again and going back with their children. For example, there's Carlos Naranjo, a 48-year-old commercial engineer from Quito, Ecuador. He says, quote, "My wife and I had our shots in Florida in April, and since most of the side effects happened in the first 2 months, we wanted to wait and see if they were safe for our boys. So now, after that waiting period, we feel comfortable taking our children so they can be protected too." Pus for brains, huh? Well, you know, monkey see, monkey do. Well, down here with upper middle class Latin Americans, it's gringo see, gringo do, and if we've got the dough, Latinos too. Then it says, get this, according to the Quito Association of Travel Agents, they estimate as many as 200,000 Ecuadorian adults having traveled or making plans to travel to Miami. They're wanting to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine since it's a one-dose one, says Juan Avialan, the Travel Association spokesman. He says, for upper-middle-class Latinos who have the dough, they don't trust the Sinovac vaccine, which is what most people in Latin America are getting, especially in Ecuador. They want the vax the gringos are getting. Which reminds me of the Einstein quote, when he said, "I know of only two things that are infinite. The universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the former." Anyway, Avalan, the travel agency spokesman, says most parents that can afford it are now planning vaccine trips for their children after having gone to Miami for the poke themselves. He says, "Now people who've had the vaccines for a month or two know they are safe, and all that fear talk was nonsense. They want to have their children vaccinated now." Yikes. He says right now, airlines are processing as many as 100,000 Ecuadorian children under the age of 16 to travel to the U.S. for vaccines in the coming weeks. Oh, and remember Mr. Naranjo, that systems engineer we just quoted, who took his kids to Miami to get jabbed? He says that Johnson & Johnson vaccine was not his first choice. He would have preferred Pfizer since it uses the more sophisticated RNA technology. Yeah, right. Shit for brains squared. But he says, "I can't afford to wait 2 weeks between doses. I'm A-OK with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine they're giving in the States, and no, it's fine for my kids. Best of all, we all get to go back to my jammy again and visit Raton Mickey, Mickey Rat." Are you getting the stupidity of all this? Now, hidden in this story is the fact that for any Latin American citizen, to get on a plane legally and fly to the U.S., you'll have to have applied for a U.S. visa. There are no Latin American passports that allow you to travel to the U.S. visa-free. And in order to get a visa, you might know the drill. You have to have a steady job for at least 3 years. Have a credit card, not a debit card, a real credit card with at least a $2,000 maximum. And you have to have an interview at the U.S. Embassy, as well as valid and active health insurance. Oh, and you have to have a local and national police report, a letter from your boss verifying your on-the-books employment, a letter of reference from your bank, too. In other words, virtually no middle or lower-middle-class Latino need apply. They could never, for one, meet the income requirement. So who are these hundreds of thousands of Latinos flying to Miami to get the jab? Well, they're Latinos in the upper 5% of income earners. Crazier yet, they're taking their kids up to Miami, and there isn't a single Latin American country that authorizes or mandates kids getting vexed. But since now in the States, some kids are getting vexed, that brilliant Latino 5% are jumping right on that bandwagon. Monkey see, monkey do. Oh, and by the way, I know I shouldn't have to say this, but have you noticed in all the real science reports you've been reading, not the ones funded by Big Pharma or WHO or Dr. Fauci, they're saying the side effects you see now, and there are plenty of them, will be nothing compared to the ones we're going to see in some months and years down the line. In other words, we ain't seen nothing yet. And all the grinning jokers and idiots who are jumping on the vax bandwagon right now, I really want to thank you, sincerely. Since all those vaccines have been approved under emergency orders, meaning they skipped 3 or 4 years of animal testing, I want to thank you all for standing in as guinea pigs for all of us who won't take a vax until it's proven safe and effective in animals. It's great you're standing in for animal proxy test subjects. Though rats will do in a pinch, we do fit the bill. After all, we are just animals. Apex predators, but just animals. All right, moving on. I'm sure you've heard of the fact that Peru just had an election and they voted in a communist, a Marxist. And according to Latin American Market Watch, Peruvian business people, especially upper middle class and wealthy, are yanking their money out of local accounts and shipping it overseas at a pace rarely ever seen before. For example, one mutual fund firm in Lima, Peru called Faro Capital says its clients pulled more than half of all their money out of country funds in the run-up to the voting and the 1 month since. fearing new Marxist President Castillo will slap U.S. dollar and euro monetary restrictions on Peruvians, just like Argentina and Venezuela have been doing. Recall that if you live in Argentina, you can only pull out 200 U.S. dollars a month. So, with Peru's population voting for a guy who promises to redistribute wealth, nationalize industries, and give out freebies to everyone, the effect has been to drive the wealthy into getting their money out of the places while they still can. In fact, there's been such an exodus of cash that the sol, S-O-L, the Peruvian currency, is down 8.4% in just 1 month, making it the worst performing currency in that time period for all emerging markets. On top of that, the country's longtime central bank chief, Julio Velarde, admitted that about 11% of the total foreign reserves of the country, some $9 billion, had just recently fled overseas. And as for the middle classes who do not have foreign accounts overseas, the ones that are independent small businessmen owning small restaurants, corner stores, and such, they are, according to the central bank chief, squirreling away as many dollars and euros as they can under their mattresses at home. And in broader market terms, Paul Robledo, CEO of Tandem Finance, admits the average Peruvian investor is very, very nervous about their new Marxist president. By the way, Peru's new president, Castillo, ran on this slogan, quote, "No more poor people in a rich country," pledging that the nation's vast mineral wealth must benefit ordinary people, which in the end is making businessmen very jittery. There's a high level of concern in the business sector. Every day, more and more people are liquidating their market positions, taking the cash and sending it out of the country. The question is, should we be worried? Well, for gringos and expats, there's a good lesson to be learned here. Aside from the fact I've never recommended Peru as a good plan B, it's a more general lesson. When the shit hits the fan in your own country and you gotta get some wealth out in a hurry, you better have a foreign bank account to transfer it to, as so many of Peru's businessmen are finding out right now. What if you can liquidate stuff and you have cash, but you've got no place to send it to because you haven't got a foreign bank account? That's one of the cardinal principles of a plan B, having a bank account in a foreign jurisdiction. You know, most of the people who've come down to my Expat Insider seminars do just that. And many of them hang around for a few days before or after the seminar, and our seminar lawyer opens up an account for them. It's a great way to kill two birds with one stone. Come down to the seminar and get yourself a foreign bank account. Hell, you only have to pump it up with maybe $200 to $500, but it's yours and it's always there, in case you need to liquidate things in a hurry. And it's untouchable by U.S. authorities because it's in a foreign jurisdiction. Oh, and one more thing. I never did tell you what happened to those chickens in the oven at ex-Boston cop Bob's new condo. Well, they were a bit overcooked, but came through the whole ordeal much better than Bob's IKEA kitchen cabinets.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.